good morning, everyone. I'm Coralie Coet. I come from Belgium, and I'm an engineer in architecture. I work at the University of Louvain, where I carry out a PhD work in the field of daylighting. Today, I would like to discuss a comparison of luminances I realized between luminances from the real world and luminances from two kinds of simulation, physically based renderings and image-based lighting pictures. So I will compare luminances extracted from high dynamic range pictures realized in far rooms, which are here, and luminances extracted from physically based renderings of these rooms in which the sky is generated with GenDelete. Finally, I will compare with the luminances from the image-based lighting pictures in which the sky capture in the real world is used as a light source. But first of all, I will briefly explain in which context I realized this comparison. Then I will present my method to capture luminances of the real world and how I realized the renderings. I will then present the luminance comparison, and I will conclude with some first conclusions and in giving a word on how I envisage to pursue the work. So this comparison is done in the frame of my PhD work, whose the aim is to evaluate the potential of radiance renderings for subjective lighting quality evaluations of daylit spaces. In this PhD, I will also investigate different modes of presentations like 3D displays, panoramic images and high dynamic range displays, which are different modes of presentation presenting some interesting characteristics for the human vision. I will also develop a questionnaire in order to try to evaluate the lighting perceptions. And this questionnaire will be composed of questions relative to light level, risk of glare, distribution of light in the room, directivity, color of light, but also two environmental factors, the spaciousness and the pleasantness. To evaluate more specifically the interest of radiance renderings, I imagine this experimental design. So in the first time, 40 people visited the four rooms I presented on the second slide. And they evaluate the spaces through my questionnaire. During this visit, I captured the scene with the high dynamic range techniques, and one of my colleagues captured the sky. So she was on the roof and she took some measurements, luminance measurements, and some high dynamic range picture of the sky. During the second phase, so here, another group of 40 people visualized the pictures I realized during the first phase, and they responded to the same questionnaire. For the third phase, I would like to display some radiance renderings, and my question is, do luminances from physically based renderings or image-based lighting pictures more realistic than more similar to the reality? So I will now explain how I realized the luminance maps. So the first step consisted in the capture of the picture in the real world. To cover a large visual field and to capture luminances of the real world, I realized high dynamic range panoramic pictures. In the first time, I wanted to work with my fisheye lens, which is a Sigma 4.5mm, but I did some pre-tests and the resolution of the fisheye was too low to have a high quality panoramic picture. So I decided to work with a conventional lens and to realize the series of pictures in rotating the camera around the entrance point. Then I combined this picture here into several low dynamic range panorama in the software PDGuide Pro. And I fused these low dynamic range pictures into a high dynamic range picture using the HDR command in gradients. I determined the response curves using the instruction given on the web HDR website, and I used the luminance measurement did done in the real world to calibrate the pictures. For the second phase of the experiment, I worked with a conventional display, and so I tone mapped the HDR pictures. I used a photographic tone mapping operator based on the literature and some pretests. And finally, I realized this kind of QuickTime panoramic pictures using the PTGI Pro software. The second step consisted in the determination of the sky conditions. So at each minute, each 5 minutes, my colleague took two kind of illuminance measurements, global horizontal illuminance measurements and diffuse horizontal illuminance measurements, and captured two series of low dynamic range pictures, one with a large aperture to capture the luminances from the sky above, and another one with a smaller aperture to capture luminances from the sun. We work with a neutral density filter in order to be sure to capture the luminances, the high luminances of the sun. And we follow the procedure explained by Debevec and Inanishi to realize the high dynamic range pictures of the sky. So first of all, we combine the low dynamic range images into two high dynamic range pictures, one for the sun, one for the sky. We corrected the filter and the vignetting, and then we combined the two pictures into one single high dynamic range picture. And finally, we calibrate this high dynamic range picture using the horizontal illuminance measurement done simultaneously to the picture. The last step consisted in using the geometry of the scene, the material characteristics I determined using a colorimeter, and the conditions of the sky to realize the physically based rendering and the image based lighting pictures. Now I will now present the comparison of luminances. It's a first comparison. The method is a bit simple at the moment, but I would like to pursue to develop this method of comparison. So the first difficulty I encounter is linked to the fact that photographic and virtual images are not perfectly aligned. And so the method I suggested is this one. So first of all, I will visually compare the maps of luminances. And then I will calculate the relative error between physically based rendering and real world, and between image based lighting and real world. I do not work with a pixel to pixel comparison, but I prefer to work with a 10 pixels to 10 pixels comparison in order to reduce the error due to geometrical misalignments. But with this method, I keep a quick visual identification of regions with large errors. Then I realize a surface-to-surface comparison and a comparison between several regions in the visual field to have numerical values easy to compare. So here is the result for the overcast sky. For one of the room, you have the luminances in the real world. The luminances from the physically based rendering, I was satisfied the first time I realized the simulation, because I didn't think that the result could be so good. Here is the luminances of the sky in the rendering, the simulation. And finally, the luminances from the image-based lighting picture. The calibration factor of my sky picture was 1.1. So you can observe that the distribution of luminances are globally similar between the renderings and the real world, and that between the two kind of renderings, it's also similar. Then I calculated the relative errors. So first of all, the 10 pixel to 10 pixel comparison show that these regions of the window present a large relative errors, and also here the frame of the window reveal that there is a geometrical misalignment. For the surface-to-surface comparison, I calculated the mean luminances for each wall in the real scene, in the PBR and in the IBL picture, and I compare these mean luminances. And you can observe that the image-based lighting picture is slightly better than the PBR picture, but the difference is very small. I did the same between several regions of the visual field, so I compared the fovea, the ergorama, and the rest of the picture. And the conclusion is the same that with the surface-to-surface comparison, image-based lighting is really slightly better than PBR. Then I did the same for the three other scene. So here we have a museum, and here it's two corridor in auditorium building, the first floor and the second floor. So with the PBR and IBM. I calculated the relative errors. You can observe that the maps of errors are similar. Here the error is a bit larger, but I think that it's a question of some hypothesis I did on the texture and on some materials. For example, here in this building I didn't know the luminous transmission of the roof windows, and I did some hypothesis on the texture. So a large part of the mean relative error is probably due to the geometrical misalignment in my picture and the hypothesis on the textures. And it seems that the difference between PBR and IBL is not too large because it's inferior to 10%. Then I did the same under the partly cloudy sky, but it's a bit more difficult. I think that the problems come from the luminances of the sun that I have not captured correctly. So here it's the result for the real world under a partly cloudy sky. For the physically based renderings, results seem similar. But for the image-based lighting, I have a scene totally overlit. And the rendering is a bit reddish. The calibration of my picture in this case, of my sky picture, is 0.08. And I think that there is a big problem. To determine this calibration factor, I compare the illuminance measure on the roof and the illuminance given using the non-calibrated high dynamic range sky picture. I don't know if it's the problem to capture luminances of the sun or to combine the two pictures, so the sky vault picture and the sun picture. I check on my picture and I have no white pixel on the with the shortest exposure with the filter. However, the pixels are white. And at the moment, to fix temporarily the problem, I find the solution is to remove luminances higher than 200,000 candela per square meter and to add a direct sun source. I have no calibration factor around 1, and the luminances in my space is similar than PBR and real world. Yes.
So I suspect, if you go back to the previous slide, that the fact that your sun is covering just a few pixels is at least behind the color shift.
Okay.
You notice that those pixels, although they represent a very large contribution to illumination,
Yeah. They
have coloration due to the size of the sensor and the fact that it's a fisheye that's made a very small sun on that sensor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what's behind the magenta coloration. It may also be behind the errors. It's just too small on your sensor.
So there is no solution to capture the sun?
No, I think the solution you came up with, which is to use the global illuminance to estimate a sun source, is probably the best one.
Mm-hmm. So I did the same exercise to calculate the relative errors and know with this method of calibration, I obtain relative errors similar to those found it with the overcast sky. So here, the dark is for the overcast sky, and in light you have the result for the sunny sky. So my first conclusions are that it's difficult to capture sunny sky. In Belgium, we have 50% of the time overcast sky, so it's okay. Under the overcast sky, I found a similar result with image-based lighting pictures and physically-based renderings. And a large part of this error is due to geometrical misalignment. The physically-based rendering gave good results, present a procedure simpler than image-based lighting, and it's a bit faster than image-based lighting rendering. However, image-based lighting rendering could be interesting with less complex room, with, for example, a single aperture, in which a vertical picture could be taken outside the window as a light source in order to take into account vegetations and surroundings. In my case, it was not possible because the scene were too complex. I know that my way to compare pictures of real scenes and computer-generated images is a simple approach. I would like to go further in the comparison, perhaps in adding a mask on the misalignment or in using a perceptual matrix, as suggested by Rushmeyer a long time ago, because it's not necessary to have similar luminances in the image, perhaps that another kind of comparison could be used. And so to continue, in the frame of my PhD work on subjective lighting perception, I will continue with physically based renderings. But however, I would like to improve the method with image-based lighting, and also to improve some radiance parameters in order to get a better quality renderings. Because in my picture, I have some splotches that I would like to delete. Thank you.
In the case where you had the sun in your picture,
yeah, I don't know.
You had the HDR for including the sky and the sun, and
yeah.
You used that for image based lighting.
Yeah.
How did you define that in radiance?
I followed the procedure that Debevec explained in his paper. So you take the high diaphragm picture and there is a. You say that the luminances of this picture, which is a hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
Is the source. So it's not possible to have a direct sun. It's also always diffuse. Yeah.
But then my question is aiming at the sun. How do you include the sun then? Because
in the second method.
Yeah.
Calibration. I use the sun from
the sun is also included in the glow, or is
no? I delete the luminances of the sun and then I add the direct sun.
In the second method, but in the first one you.
There is no.
The glow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the beginning, I imagine that my picture will be too dark,
mm-hmm.
And so I was surprised that the picture were overlit because.
Yeah, it seems the chances of finding the sun, like David says, are small. If you just treated the whole thing as a glow with the very, very bright point around the sun. So I think that Paul Debevec also used a sun replacement in a lot of his renderings, where he added a source that.
Yeah.
Well, it might be that it works because you have all these things around the sun in your picture, so you don't have. Only the 0.5 degree or whatever, but you get more of the pixels, so you probably hit miss the sun.
Yeah. Well, with the AS parameter, I mean, it will send samples to that area, so yeah, but I would still expect greater errors than you had from that. So it was...
Thank you. Also, the response of the users, the schedule handed out some questionnaires. Was there any special thing which came out?
Yes. At the moment, I realized three experiments, one in the real world, one with a conventional display, and one with a 3D display. And with the 3D display, light level is not perceived in the same manner than in the real world. Color, no. With the 3D display, nothing works. And with the conventional display, it works. I have some differences with the risk of glare, because I have no glare in the real world, and with the screen, I have sometimes glare.
So people say, they look at the image, they say, oh, that would be too glary, but
yeah.
Is it in the real
world? Yeah. And the next step is to do the experiment on the high dynamic range display, and also with the renderings.
Well, it would be interesting to see if really the response to viewing the image is correlated to the response when people are viewing the real room.
Yeah.
Sorry, maybe I missed something, but when you're trying to make source from it, because that would create a source for direct calculation where there is a highlight in the parametric. It kind of solves the problem with the glow and the sun, with the sun in the image and the glow. It's a little program that generates the definition of the source from an SDR.
Okay.
Anyone?
Okay. Yeah, I would have said the same thing. Use make source, I think.
Okay.
And then determine the brightness of your solar disk from the measurements. Measure the direct glow or the direct horizontal and work out the sun vectors.
Thank you.
And then you might even, if light source, let's say, only spits out like one light source for the sun and the circumsolar region, maybe you can separate it, have a larger circumsolar region and a small kind of real-sized sun. So you have like two sources that separate one another.
Yeah.
One is really intense, the sun, and the bigger one is less intense.
I'm not sure that works, though. I think if you have two sources that are coincident, it won't work. But there is a chain in the code that allows the source and the glow to work together properly for make source. The trouble with using make source in this context is that if the sun is sampled so coarsely, you know, it was only covering a few pixels, and the errors from that measurement are a problem, then make source will create a source that also has some problem.
So, yeah, you would then fit the source that source.
But then it would be pretty similar to what Carly did, which was to actually replace the source with one that was the right. Because your luminance, your global luminance measurement is going to be the best reference for the light contribution from the sun, because you could just subtract out the sky contribution and then you know how much light the sun was providing, and then you can derive a source based on that measurement more reliably.
Well, measuring the direct norm would be even more accurate, even possibly with
yes,
the shading.
Yes.
If you have the tools.
Yeah. So if you angle it towards the sun, that's true. You would get more. But not yet.
I was just thinking another option would be to mask, have a second luminance calculation measurement with a mask to capture only a part of the sky where there is no sun. So you use that sector to calibrate the sky contribution, because otherwise you don't have a calibration factor for the sky that you can then subtract from the sun.
Thank you.
If we use any power display for the experiment,
I will use it.
What is it? It would be
Sorry?
What kind of, what did it mean?
It's in the neural laboratory, so I don't know yet which kind of display it is, but I know that it can display luminances until 80,000
Is it developed by Rafael Allaire?
Yeah.
The back work.
Have you heard of this one? Backward projection HDR display?
It's
80,000 meters per square meter.
Well, maybe she knows more, but I was at ENTP in France, International Travaux Public d'État. Raphaël Labera had the prototype, backward projected system that can beam up to 80,000 km per square meter. And what I've seen, it was giving max 20 when I was there. You know, you cannot just be in the dark room then. 80,000 km per square meter.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of freedom, I think, for what they can show. Yeah. Maybe 44 inches.
Yeah, we have some internal things at Dolby that are similar, where you just take a theater projector and project it onto a black and white LCD and use the LCD as a second modulator. You can get really high brightnesses that way.
That just brought out their commercial
on a smaller screen. Because, you know, the theater is meant to cover a very large screen.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's a 50-foot screen. You put that on a screen this big, and it's too bad.
But there could be a problem with black radiums.
With what?
With the projector. Because the black radiums are not so black, so the contrast is...
Well, that's why you have to have an LCD
mm-hmm.
as your screen, and you modulate that to get the black levels down. But it works. It's hard to set up, but it works.
All right, thank you.